Hey, church family, welcome to Church News. My name is Caleb, and this is Ava, and we're so glad you could be at church today. Ava, what do we have coming up?
The first thing we have is Growth Track. Growth Track helps you discover the ins and outs of Only Believe, helps you learn about your God-given gifts and how you can use them, and it gives you an opportunity to say yes to becoming a member of Only Believe Church. Growth Track happens every first Sunday of the month, right after service, and there's lunch and childcare provided. If you would like to sign up, you can head on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby, or you can scan the QR code on the screen.
Have you decided to follow Jesus and don't know what your next step is? Well, your next step is water baptism. Water baptism is a way that you show that you have committed your life to following Jesus. It's an outward expression of an inward change. This is why the Bible tells us that it's through baptism that we are participating in the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. If you are a follower of Jesus and have not been baptized, we highly encourage you to do so. So if you have any more questions or if you would like to sign up for baptism, you can visit the Welcome Center in the lobby.
Yes, and then we have First Saturday Prayer. Here at Only Believe, we believe in the power of prayer. And that is why we have First Saturday Prayer. First Saturday Prayer is where we come together at the beginning of each month to pray for all that the Lord wants to do in us and through us in the coming month. This 1 hour prayer service includes corporate prayer, personal prayer, worship, and an encouraging message. So we would love to see you each month for First Saturday Prayer.
As you may know, we are currently doing a debt cancellation campaign to pay off our building by June of this year. And as of right now, we have just under $254,000 left to pay off. But we need your help. Please continue to pray and ask God how He would lead your family to give towards debt cancellation. We're so close to being debt-free, and together we can make it happen. So if you have any more questions or if you'd like to get involved, please visit the Welcome Center in the lobby. You can also use a special offering envelope with the orange border to give directly to debt cancellation. Thank you for being a part of this with us.
Yes, and then we have a healing night coming up on March 16th at 6 p.m. This healing night will be a time filled with prayer, faith, and restoration. So come expecting miracles as we gather together in hope and in unity. But don't wait until then to use your faith. Join us now as we begin praying for the healing that will happen that night. And in preparation for this, we as a church are doing a 3-day fast the weekend of the healing night. And also, if you're willing, you can come join us after Sunday morning service on the 16th as we spend some time in prayer for the night. We are expecting great miracles to take place in response to our prayers.
We are in week 2 of our series, Built Different. Last week, we kicked off the series by looking at Joshua and how he held on to the promises that God gave him. This week, we're diving into another powerful story of someone in the Bible who was built different. As a reminder, each week, we're discovering what set these individuals apart and how we can live different like them. And don't forget, this series is happening church-wide, so kids, youth, and adults will all be hearing the same messages each week. So please, grab those invite cards on the pew next to you and invite someone you know to come to church with you.
And then we have Loving Our Neighbor. This is your super early heads up on Serve Week that's happening in July. But why are we mentioning this in March, you may be wondering? Well, it's because we need your ideas. We want to hear some of your awesome ideas for how we can love our neighbor for Serve Week this year. If you have ideas that you want to share with us, you can head on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby and put your name down on the list for Serve Week. And then Pastor Tim will connect with you and set up a time that you can talk about your ideas together. We want to thank you so much for your hearts to serve and to reach people who are lost with the gospel and the love of Jesus.
As always, for more information or if you have any questions, please visit the Welcome Center in the lobby, and our team will do the best they can to help you out. Now, let's prepare our hearts and minds as we get into God's Word, continuing our series, Built Different.
I'm kidding. I know what's going on. Hey, I do want to just double down on one of the announcements they talked about, our healing night that's happening next Sunday at 6 p.m. I want to encourage you, if you know somebody that needs physical healing in their body, then invite them to come with you to the healing night. That's going to be awesome. We're believing that God's going to do the miraculous that night in people's lives. But more importantly, what I want to encourage you to do, or maybe equally as importantly, I want to encourage you to join us in praying and fasting for our healing night. So the pastors and staff, we're going to be fasting the 3 days leading up to it. So Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of this week, we'll be praying and fasting about that. And then again, Sunday after church, next Sunday after church, we'll be staying in here to pray for that service as well. And so I want to encourage you to join us as we do that. Why? Here's why. In James 5, 16 through verse 18, we read this. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. How many of you believe that? The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Amen. Amen. Yeah, I'm with you. I believe it as well. The problem is I don't always believe I'm the righteous person it's talking about. Anybody else in that boat with me? You're like, yeah, that's for other people. No. Look at what he says. He says, Elijah was a human being even as we are. Elijah, one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament, and James goes, yeah, he was just a normal person, just like you. Ah, I can be one of those righteous people whose prayers are powerful and effective. Why? Not because I'm so great, but because I actually believe and have faith in the God who is great. Amen? And if we believe God can do it and we're praying for it, God can do miracles. Amen? So we want you to join with us in doing this. And so I kind of challenge you as nicely as possible, fast and pray with us to any degree that you're capable of. Fast and pray with us as we look forward to that service and seeing God do amazing things. Amen? Amen. All right, so in this series, we are looking at different people in the Bible who were built different from their peers. And we're looking at these stories of these men and women because what we want to do is we want to identify what was it about their life that set them apart for God to be able to use for His glory. And because if we can identify what the thing was about them, just like what James says about Elijah, Elijah was just a normal dude. So what set him apart? Why was God able to work with Elijah, right? Why is God able to work with Joshua? Why was God able to do such amazing things through who we're going to look at today, Daniel? What was it that made him different, that caused him to be built different? We want to identify these things because if we can identify what it was, then man, God can work in us to do amazing things for His glory as well. And so we're going to look at Daniel. So for context, in the biblical story, we are at the point where the empire of Babylon has attacked Israel. Okay, so Israel is being judged by God for their sin and their idolatry and all this stuff. The prophet Jeremiah had showed up and said, hey, you're about to be taken captive into this land. You're going to be there for 70 years. That's what's happening. And Babylon has come and attacked, and they've taken their first wave of exiles. All right, so these exiles, they're like political prisoners, essentially. And so they've taken their first wave. And this is, in the biblical story, this is the darkest moment in Israel's history up to this point. And this is where we find Daniel. Now, here's what we know about Daniel. We know that Daniel was from the tribe of Judah, and that he was either part of the royal family or the nobility. In some way. He would have met the criteria of being a young man without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. So the exact opposite of me. All right, just that's what Daniel was. Come on, that was a good joke, people. Man, you're like the teenagers. All right, that's all we know about Daniel at the start of this story. But here's what I want to draw attention to. Daniel met all of this criteria, which sounds amazing, right? Like no physical defects. He was handsome. He was capable. This is like every young girl's dream of who they want to marry. But Daniel was not the only person like this. All of the people in this first wave of exiles would have met the same criteria. What do I mean by this? Daniel was just one of the people. He was just one of the people. So that stuff, as great as it is, that's not what sets Daniel apart. Because everyone who was taken in that first wave met the same criteria. Are you with me? Okay. So obviously, Daniel makes a huge impact in the biblical story and for God's glory. There's a book in the Bible named after him. And also, I don't know if you know this, but Daniel is one of Jesus' favorite books to either quote from, reference, or allude to. So as you read the Gospels, you're going to see Jesus connects back to Daniel a lot. He really likes Daniel. Now in this message, I'm going to do a couple of things. The first thing is we're going to look at two aspects of Daniel's life. We're going to look at one aspect, and then I'm going to show you two stories centered around this central thing about Daniel's life that sets him apart. And then I'm going to finish with one more aspect of Daniel's life of prayer. And then I'm going to give you practical ways that you can go home and be built different like Daniel. All right, you guys good? All right, step one, or the first point I want to make, is that prayer was a way of life for Daniel. It was a way of life for him. This isn't something that he just did when he showed up to church on Sunday or on Wednesday or before he sat down to eat his meal and he would bless it. Prayer was his way of life. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, we read this. It says that he went home to his upstairs room where the windows were open towards Jerusalem. And three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. So Daniel had a life of prayer. Many Jewish people did, though. In fact, the pattern of Daniel's life of prayer, this praying three times a day, it was actually Jewish custom to pray this way. They were called the hours of prayer. They were at 9 a.m., 12 p.m., and 3 p.m. This was like what normal life for Jews would have been like. Hey, do you guys know how prayer is like one of the absolute foundations of being a follower of Jesus? Faithfulness in prayer is one of the foundational things. Like, if we're a follower of Jesus, one thing that should be said about us is those people pray. Now, let's just stop for a second, because as we read this story, I want to just make this observation that there were plenty of people who were taken in that first round of exiles, and we find a story of one of them who actually is faithful to the hours of prayer. What do I mean by this? We can know all day long that prayer is the right thing for us to do as Jesus followers. We know that we should be faithful and committed to it. That doesn't mean that we always are. But what made Daniel built different from the rest of the Jewish men who were taken into exile with him was that he actually lived it. Now, as I preach this message today, there's going to be plenty of opportunity for you to go, this is really simple. And it is. What I'm going to preach today is not hard for any of us. It's about the doing it that matters. Daniel had a life of prayer. This was the rhythm of his life. You could say that as you think about ocean currents coming in on the beach, there's a rhythm to it that doesn't change. Daniel's life is a rhythm of prayer that doesn't change. All of the Jewish people had the opportunity to follow him in this way of prayer. It was the customary way that they should pray. And yet Daniel is the one that we discover is living in that rhythm. That's really important for us to know. If you want to be built different for the glory of God, you have to be a person who has a life of prayer, that it is your rhythm of prayer. Now, this leads me to two interesting stories that we read about in the book of Daniel. And they have this shocking twist. The first one is about how prayer saved Daniel's life. Prayer actually saves Daniel's life. In Daniel chapter 2, I'm going to kind of give you the story and then we're going to jump into the scripture for a certain part of it. But in Daniel 2, we learn about King Nebuchadnezzar and this terrible dream that he has. And so what he does is he has a dream that disturbs him so much that he calls together all the astrologers and the magicians and the wise men, everyone who should be able to handle these types of situations. He calls them in from all over his empire. And he tells them something that's rather harsh and a little bit odd, but he's the king and he can do what he wants. He says, I want you to tell me my dream. Now, have you ever just, you know, for you married people, have you ever just woke up and your spouse looked over at you and be like, I had a terrible dream. Tell me what I dreamed. You're like, how am I supposed to tell you what you dreamed? Well, that's exactly what these wise men and astrologers say to the king. They're like, nobody on earth can do that. Only, they say, only the gods can do that kind of stuff. And they They don't dwell here with people. They're up there. He says, nobody can do what you asked. And the king, he doesn't really like their answer. So he says, well, let me tell you what's going to happen. Either you're going to tell me what I dreamed, because he says, if you can tell me what I dreamed, then I can trust you can give a true interpretation of it. So he says, you're either going to tell me what I dreamed in the interpretation, or I will kill every last one of you throughout the entire empire. That's rough, man. Here's the bad news. Daniel is considered one of the wise men. And so the king is like, this is what's up. And the guys are like, we're sorry, we can't do it. Nobody on earth can do this. And so the king's like, well, I guess you guys made your bed. Now you're going to lie in it. So he sends out his soldiers to go and start killing all these people. One of these soldiers, his name is Arioch. He is the one sent to find Daniel. And this is where we're going to jump into the story. It says Daniel chapter 2, starting in verse 14. It says, when Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. And he asked the king's officer, why did the king issue such a harsh decree? Why is the king trying to kill all of us? Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. At this, Daniel went into the king and asked for time so that he might interpret the dream for him. So Daniel's like, king, don't kill me yet. Just give me an opportunity. And then it says, then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and he urged them to plead for mercy. What does he want them to do? Pray! Pray! We're going to die! We got to pray! He says, plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. And during the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. I love this so much. Daniel's response to danger in his life at that moment wasn't to freak out, wasn't to become overwhelmed with anxiety and fear of, oh God, what's going to happen? Daniel's response when pressure came was to go immediately to prayer. Now, why do you think that is? Because he'd already been built different in his rhythm. This is his rhythm. I promise you, Daniel is a political prisoner in exile in Babylon. This is not the first time in Daniel's life that pressure has come. This is not the first time in Daniel's life that danger has been facing him head on, right? And Daniel's response is, I need to go pray. And I need to get my friends to pray with me. Hey, we've got a healing night coming up next week. And there's going to be some people here that need somebody willing to say, I'll pray with you for the mercy of God to bring healing. Do you see this? There's a rhythm of Daniel's life that when the pressure comes, his first response is, I'm going to go pray. Can I tell you, church, that that's what God wants our response to be too? Why? Because he's the one that can do the miraculous. He doesn't want us worried and stressed and fearful. He wants us to pray. Daniel had a rhythm and a life of prayer, and prayer saved Daniel's life. Now here's where we get this shocking twist. We have this story of where prayer actually saves his life. Now we're going to get to a story where prayer actually is the reason he's going to die. You're like, what is happening right now? This is insanity. But it's exactly what happens. Prayer actually puts Daniel in danger. And so we want to look at this story. It's in Daniel chapter 6. If you've got your Bible, you can turn there. If you don't, then you can just look at the screen. It's there for you because we care about you. In Daniel chapter 6, we're going to start in verse 1. It says that it pleased Darius. Now, at this point, you need to be aware of this. Babylon has come to an end, and there's a new king in power. He is the king of the Mede and Persian army. It's kind of like this two empires kind of combined into one kind of a deal. But Darius is the new king, and so we've got a new king in position. And it says, it pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom. These would just be like official leaders, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. All right, Daniel's about to get a top dog position in this new kingdom, in this new empire. He's still a political prisoner, by the way. The satraps were made accountable to these administrators so that the king might not suffer loss. There's so many good messages in this sermon. The king is worried that the people he's putting in charge of his kingdom are going to rip him off. And so Daniel is one of the people that he selects to make sure that doesn't happen. Would be the people of God lived with that kind of integrity and character in every area of our life. Amen? That's a different message. Verse 3, now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. Again, Daniel's about to be put as second in charge over the entire empire, and some men are jealous and they don't like it. So they're like, you know what we got to do? We got to dig up some dirt. And guess what? They can't find any dirt on Daniel because his life, the quality of his life, his integrity, his character is just too good. And so they can't find any dirt there. And so it gets better. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Verse 5, finally these men said, we will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of his God. So the administrators and the satraps went as a group to the king and they said, may King Darius live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in writing. All right, so these wise men find a way to trap Daniel. What are they going to trap him in? They're going to trap him in the area of his life that is consistent as the ocean's tide. Right? Hey, if we're going to get him, it's got to have something to do with his God. Why? Because that man's faithful to his God. What's the easiest thing for us to trap him in? Well, you know what I see him doing every single day, three times a day? He's praying. That's how we'll do it. So now we see in Daniel 2, prayer is the thing that saves Daniel's life. Daniel is, listen, he's going to be promoted to second in command of the entire empire. He knows the rules. He knows that if Darius establishes a law, it cannot be changed or repealed. If Darius comes out and says, anyone who prays to anyone but me for the next 30 days will die, Daniel is fully aware of what's going to happen. He understands these laws. Daniel knows what it means for him if he goes back to prayer. Are you with me? This is so good, man. Let's keep reading. Verse 10, now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, what does he do? Freak out? Get scared? No. He went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed. It's as if Daniel's like, I dare you. You're going to kill me for praying. Watch me. Here I go. It's almost as if Daniel was living his life as if he was a living sacrifice to the Lord his God. It's almost as if Daniel was living in the fear of God rather than in the fear of man, like Jesus talked about. Now, I don't know for sure Daniel's disposition as he approached prayer that day. I don't know if Daniel came into his upstairs room and with the windows open, and if he knelt down that first time after hearing the decree with a little timidity in his voice, I don't think so. Why? Because I just read the story earlier about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were told unless they bowed down and worshiped the idol that the king had set up, they'd be thrown into the furnace. And their response was, good king, do whatever you want to, but we know that our God in heaven is capable, he's able to save us, that he will save us, and even if he won't save us, just throw us into that fire because we ain't doing anything other but worshiping him alone, right? And so Daniel, faced with the same kind of threat, you either pray only to Darius or you die, he goes boldly, immediately, right to the place of prayer and says, I'll show you how I'm living my life. I ain't worried about your decree. I'm praying to the King of Kings. Are you with? It's so good, isn't it? Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks. Here's another reason why I don't think David was too scared, because he gets down and what's he doing? He gives thanks to God. That's pretty bold, man. My life's going to end because I'm praying to you, but I'm going to thank you anyways, Lord. My prayers don't often look that way, if I can be honest with you. Just as he had done before. Verse 11, then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or human being except to you, your majesty, would be thrown into the lion's den? And the king answered, the decree stands in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. And you're probably familiar with the rest of the story. Daniel gets thrown into a lion's den. And God rescues him out of it. But see, I don't want us to get too quick to the part where we go, but God rescued him. Daniel didn't know. He didn't know. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had all the faith in the world. We know that God is able. We know that he will. There was a confidence. But they said, but even if he doesn't, it's not going to change how we live. Amen. Daniel's praying and asking for help. And sure, he'd seen miracles already. But Daniel had to walk by faith. And say, hey, I'm going to pray anyways, and I'll trust God with the outcome. And they throw him in the lion's den, and the Lord rescues him out of it. Prayer went from being the thing that saved Daniel's life to being the reason that his life is now in danger. And when the pressure came, he responded faithfully. Which leads us to ask this question of ourselves. How do I respond when the pressure comes? If I want to be built different and I want to live my life for the glory of God, can I just explain something to you really quickly too? In every one of the stories that you read about in Daniel where severe moments of suffering or persecution or struggle comes, in every single one of them, the men stay faithful to the Lord, and the result of every time them staying faithful to the Lord is the Lord's name is exalted in a pagan kingdom. Why would that be? I'll tell you why. If somebody comes up to you and says, hey, either pray to me or I'm going to kill you, and you go, I only pray to one person and it's the God in heaven, and then they try to kill you and you don't die, keep praying to the person you're praying to, bub. You know, like keep on going, man. It's cool. There's a glory that God gets when his people stay faithful. And then his name gets spread. His fame gets spread. This isn't about us. This is about God's glory and God being shown to the whole world that he is Lord of Lords, that he is the God of all creation, that he is the only true Savior. Are you with me? It's so good. This brings me to my last point. Prayer wasn't optional for Daniel. Prayer was a way of life for Daniel. There was moments in his life that prayer saved his life. There were moments in his life that prayer is what put him in danger. But through all of it, prayer is not optional to him. Even when it's his own detriment or harm, Daniel, in this moment, in this story in Daniel chapter 6, he has nothing to gain. Now, I know some of you are going, well, God will save him. If he prays, God will respond to his prayers. Yeah, I get you. I understand that. What does Daniel actually have to gain by going and praying? When the edict comes out that you'll die if you do so, what does he actually have to gain? Nothing. He has everything to lose in this moment. All of the risk is on him. God's not going to die if Daniel dies. God's going to keep moving, right? There was nothing for him to gain and everything for him to lose, and yet he still chooses to pray because prayer was not optional. Can I just throw this out to us as a church, as the beloved people of God, as the scriptures, your dear children, and you're dearly loved by him. How much different would our lives look like if prayer was not optional to us? How much different would your life look if prayer wasn't an option? Because we live in a country where it is totally an option. There's no reward if you do. There's no risk if you do, right? Like, you could do what you want. And we live pretty good here. And let's be honest. This is we live in a good country. We got a lot of freedoms. We're blessed. We are blessed. We're more blessed than we could ever imagine being blessed. And because of it, prayer is totally optional to us. Daniel's living in a culture where everything is going against him. I heard another pastor say it this way, and I love it, so I'm going to use it. He said, Daniel, in his entire existence in exile, he is swimming upstream in a river. It is never an easy point for him if he's going to stay faithful to God. The easiest thing in Daniel's life would to just go with the current. Which in the story, the way that you read it, it seems like most of the exiles do. We know that at least three others stay faithful to God. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We know that they stay faithful to the Lord. But as you read the story, you get the drift that those four dudes might be the only four dudes that are actually living that way. Seems like everyone else has just kind of let the current sweep them on down with it. In fact, they get so bought into the culture of Babylon that when they finally get set free and they're able to return home, a lot of them don't go. They just stay back. What a tragedy to stay in this place that was so wrong. It was a place of heartbreak and pain. And now they're staying there when they have the opportunity to go back to the land that God gave them. See, Daniel, prayer was not optional for him in the good times or in the bad times. He was faithful to pray. Daniel was built different in his faithfulness to prayer. Daniel saw God do amazing things in him and through him because of his faithfulness to pray to a faithful God. Daniel had faith that he served a God who responded to prayer, and so he prayed in the good times and the bad. We can be the same way. And I know that we're in here today, and many of us have situations in our lives that aren't favorable happening right now. And you can be like Daniel and say, but I'm going to pray. Instead of trying to figure this out on my own, instead of trying to just sit here and worry and wonder, can God do anything? I'm actually going to look up to the heaven and go, God, with one word from heaven, you can change all of this. And so I'm going to pray. We can be just like him. You can do this. It's not hard. It's not hard. Now, as I've talked about this, I'm going to imagine that some people in the room maybe feel a little bit of, and I don't want this, and so I'm going to speak to this, but maybe you feel a little bit of condemnation, like maybe I'm a bad Christian because I haven't been praying faithfully. That's not what I want for you. I'm not calling for us to take prayer more seriously as a way of just pushing us into legalism or feeling like really good Christians who check mark the I prayed today box. That's not what I'm after. What I'm after is faithfulness to the Lord. What I'm after is us saying God is worthy of it in the good times and in the bad. God is worthy of my prayers when the prayer is what will save me, and God is worthy of my prayers when the prayer is what will get me killed. He's worthy of it because he is the Lord and he is the King. And so what I want to do is, wherever you're at today, I don't want any of you to feel any condemnation or anything. What I want to do is I want to give you a path to walk down to start making a life of prayer a rhythm for you and your family. That's what I'm after. So I have three tips to help you build prayer in your life. Now, I do want to say this. We're doing this series all throughout the church because we want this to be a family thing. And I realize some of you in here, you're single. Bless God, you're single. You're going to take these tips and apply them to yourself. You need to do this as an individual. Some of you are married with kids. I'm going to encourage you to start making this a family thing, that you do this as a family in your home. Some of you are empty nesters. God bless you. This is, I'm assuming it's the greatest time of life. I don't know. But my wife and I are looking forward to it one day. It's going to be amazing. But if you're empty nesters, then do this together. If you've got grandkids, then man, when they're over, man, show them this way of life. Let them see it in you. You have an impact in their life. So no matter where we're at, we can do this. Here's our tips. The first thing you need to do is establish a when. A when, not a W-I-N, a W-H-E-N, a when. We see that Daniel followed a model of praying three times a day, at 9 a.m., 12 p.m., and 3 p.m. And by the way, he prayed more than that. We don't know what time he prayed when he got the edict that, hey, the king's going to kill all of you guys. We just know he immediately went to pray, right? So you can pray whenever. But do you have a faithful time of prayer where you go and meet with the Lord. I really believe that will help you in your consistency and faithfulness in prayer if you establish a win. Make your win work for you in your situation. If you're a single person, you can do that win whenever you want to. If you've got a family, you might have to be real intentional about when that win is. If you're empty nesters, you can do it whenever you want to, right? You've got to make it work for you. And we know that this way of having a win continues because into the New Testament, as you read your New Testament, you'll discover, you'll read this phrase, at the hour of prayer, or at the time of prayer. What is that? They're continuing the same pattern, three times a day, 9 a.m., 12 p.m., 3 p.m. Those were the times of prayer. So we can learn from this that, hey, it might be really helpful in my journey of becoming someone faithful in prayer to have a specific time that I have set aside to pray. That's step one if you want to be faithful in prayer. Have a win. The second thing you should do is establish a what? Establish a what? What are you going to pray? Now let me just be very candid. I know that when you're first learning how to pray, it's very awkward. And you're like, I don't know what I'm doing. That's okay. Prayer is not something anyone is an expert in. We all have to grow in this thing. We all have to learn how to pray and how to pray well. But establishing a what, if you're new to prayer or you're not very good at consistent, faithful prayer, what will you pray? This is so cool to me. I want to share this with you. This comes down to us from the history of the church. And it is so awesome. Calling it a book almost feels inaccurate. It's very, very short. It's only a few pages. But it's this thing called the Didache. And what it is believed to be within church history, a collection of the apostles, the 12 apostles' first teachings. You got to remember, the first generation of the church did not have the New Testament. They heard it orally. And so the Didache is what's believed to be like the core essentials of what the apostles went out and taught the people to follow. It's really kind of a cool book. Anyway, it's not the Bible, but it's the people teaching the Bible to you, okay? And here's what they say about prayer. They say, and it might sound familiar to you, I hope it does. They say, do not pray as the hypocrites, but as the Lord commanded in his gospel, thus pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts also as we forgive our debtors. And bring us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the power and the glory forever. Does that sound familiar to you? This is what they taught followers of Jesus to pray. And then they finished with this. Three times a day, thus pray. Man, these are people who are rooted in a rhythm and a life of prayer. They're referring to the hours of prayer. Hey, continue to pray the Lord's Prayer. It doesn't take much brain power to pray the Lord's Prayer. Pray it three times a day. 9 a.m., 12 p.m., 3 p.m. Now, you can take that and you can apply that. And you say, you know what? If I'm just getting started, I'm going to start right there with the Lord's Prayer. And here's what will happen. I promise you this will happen. That if you come to prayer like this, and you go, this might be a pre-written prayer, but I'm going to pray it in faith as I'm connecting with the Lord. This isn't me checking off the box saying, look at me, a good Christian. But this is about me being faithful to the Lord in prayer. If you will start there, I promise you the Holy Spirit will grow it from there. And you will find yourself being drawn deeper and deeper into a life of prayer. How do I know that? Because I do not naturally pray easily. I've said it before, I'll say it a million times. I would much rather sit here and read my Bible for 10 hours straight than spend 10 minutes in prayer. I just am not gifted that way. I've had to work towards it. But what I've discovered in my life is the more faithful I've been to it, the Holy Spirit's just drawn me deeper into it. And he'll do the same thing for you. So don't feel bad about starting with pre-written prayers. Just start somewhere. In fact, the Jewish people would often pray the scriptures. They'd pray the Psalms. They would pray parts from different books in the Bible. They would repeat the prayers that were in the Bible. It's okay to do that. Start somewhere. So have a when, have a what. And the last thing I would give you is this. Establish a where. Where will you pray faithfully to the Lord? We see in the life of Daniel that he had a place of prayer. He would pray in his upstairs room with the windows open facing Jerusalem. Can I tell you something that's really cool about this, though? Is that Daniel is actually following what the scriptures tell him to do. When King David's son Solomon built the temple, he prays this prayer of dedication over the temple. It's a really amazing prayer, but it gets kind of weird because there's a spot in the prayer where Solomon starts to pray things like this. Hey, Lord, when your people sin, and they're going to sin, when they do that, and your anger is riled up against them, and you send them into the judgment, and foreign nations come and take them as captives to their own land. Does this sound like Daniel to any of you? Yes. It's exactly what's happened to Daniel. He says, when they get there, if they have a change of heart and they become repentant and they go into their room and they open up their windows and face towards Jerusalem and pray for mercy, hear their prayer and rescue them. And what do we find? A little bit later, Daniel, Israel has sinned. They are in judgment. And what? He's being faithful to where the scriptures taught him to pray. The where matters. In Jesus' life, his where, because he was a traveling minister, his where wasn't exactly a solid location. It was a type of place. Jesus, the scriptures tell us, would often withdraw to lonely places in the wilderness or up in mountains where he could be alone with the Lord and free of distraction. And so Jesus had a where. His was just a little bit more mobile. But we need a where. Where's a good where for us? I don't know. In Matthew 6:6, Jesus says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. If you're an individual, man, just pray in your room. If you're a family with kids, get your family together in your living room and pray together. What are we going to pray? Start with the Lord's Prayer. Just pray that together. And let that be it. And let it grow from there. When are we going to do it? When works best for you? My wife and I have gone through various stages of trying to figure this out with our family. Having 4 kids spread from almost 10 to down to 1 makes it rather complicated. Some nights, I'll be honest with you, we just say, Jesus bless us, amen, go to bed. Right? Like we're trying. We're trying. The point is, we're trying to establish a rhythm and make this something for our kids to see. And it's hard when you got little ones. It's hard. It's hard. It's hard. And you got to work with it. But the Lord will bless it. The Lord will be with you. So just keep leaning into it. You can be built. Your families can be built different. Your families can be built different. Your homes can be places of peace where the glory of God rests. Where healing is just always happening. Not just physically, but in their hearts. Our little kids, man, one of the worst things of being a parent is watching your kid get hurt. Not physical hurt. I mean, that's part of life. Like when friends wound them. It hurts. But guess what? I can pray in the Lord who heals the brokenhearted. What if we were praying over our kids? God, whatever harmed them today, whatever hurt their little soul, just mend it as they sleep tonight. Visit them as they sleep, Lord, and bring healing. You can do that. Why would you want to do it? Because we serve and follow a God who does the miraculous. And he responds to prayer. I close with just this reminder. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave for rain, and the earth produced its crops. He was just like you and me. You can do this. You can do this. Would you stand to your feet with me? What I really want to do right now is I just want to give the Holy Spirit an opportunity to speak to each and every one of us. And again, there's no condemnation here. What I'm saying is get started. Just get started. Get moving in the right direction. But here's what I want, and here's what I think we should do. I think we should give the Holy Spirit a little bit of a moment here. I've done a lot of talking. Let's let him talk for a minute. And he can speak to your heart, and he can give you some ideas about, hey, you know what? Here would be a good time for you to start doing this. This is the time I want with you. The Holy Spirit can speak to you and say, here's how I want you to start. Just start praying a psalm every day with your family. Just open up the psalm, start in Psalm 1, and just every day go through the psalms and pray them together as a family. He can speak that to you. He can give you the where. Here's where I want you to do this. This is where I want to meet with you. That's important because in the scriptures we find sometimes the Lord says, I want you to come right here. This is where I want to meet you. And so I just want you to just open up your heart to the Lord. And just, we're going to be in silence for just a few moments. But I just want you to open up your heart to the Lord and say, Lord, what does this look like for me or for my family to build this rhythm and this life of prayer? What does this look like for us? How can we do this faithfully? Let's give him a few moments. Lord, I pray that, God, you would just speak to each and every one of us, speak to every one of our families, every individual in this room. Father, I pray that you would lead us into that place with you, into building that faithful life of prayer. God, help us, Lord. Help those who are like me, that prayer is, it's just a struggle for them sometimes, Lord. I pray, God, that by your Spirit, you just draw them in, and it would feel natural to them. It'd feel natural to them. Father, I pray for those families that God, gathering together to pray and to read the Bible, that it feels awkward, that for those parents that feel unqualified or feel like they don't know what they're doing when it comes to this kind of stuff, Father, I pray that you would just let your peace rest on them. Father, I pray that you give them comfort, knowing it's going to be okay. They can do this because your Spirit is with them, leading them and guiding them, Father. It's just taking that step of faith to get started. God, you can work wonders from there. So, Father, I pray that they would leave today with a new sense of courage and boldness about establishing this kind of a rhythm of life of prayer in their homes. Father, be with them as they leave today. And, Father, we just thank you for the wisdom that we receive from your Scriptures. Lord, we know that we are a people of prayer. And, Father, we also know that we have to trust the outcomes to you. That Daniel prayed and asked for help. He didn't get to determine whether or not he got thrown into the lion's den, but you rescued him from within it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't get to opt out of the fiery furnace. They were still thrown into it, but you rescued them in the midst of it. Father, may we trust that as we pray, we believe, God, that you are capable, God, that you will. God, in every prayer that we lift up to the heavens, Father, in every prayer that we lay before you, seeking your help, God, may we believe like they did that, God, you are capable of all things. So we bring all things before you. And Lord, help us to trust in your faithfulness to us. That no matter what it looks like, that Father, you will be faithful. You'll be faithful. You'll be faithful. May we never give up praying. No matter what, Father, in the good times and in the bad, may we never give up praying. In Jesus' name. You may be with us. You may be new here today. I want you to just hear something that's so great. They prayed to the God of heaven because they knew the God of heaven could answer them. Today, you might be here going, my life's a mess. I've made it a mess. I'm the reason my life is a mess. I feel like there's no hope. I feel like God can't do anything for me because it's just too bad. I want you to know that we pray to the God of heaven who can do all things. He can do all things. Nobody is too far gone. Nobody's situation is too hopeless. Nobody is too deep in sin that Jesus can't pull you right out of it. Nobody. So I want to throw the invitation out to you today that if in your life you go, life is not good for me, but if there's someone who can save me, if there's someone who can change this, if there's someone who can change me and make me into the kind of person that doesn't keep doing this to myself anymore, then I want to know that person. I'm telling you, his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus, and there is no life that he cannot change. There is no person that he cannot heal. There is no person that he cannot save. And today, if you would say, I want a different life. I want a life like that guy, Daniel, who no matter what was happening, he could go in prayer and he saw God answer him. I want a God who can change my life. If that's you, then I want you to make the choice to come and put your faith in Jesus today because he's the only one who can. Your spouse can't do it. Your best friend can't do it. Your boss can't fix it by giving you a raise. None of that stuff changes it, but Jesus can. And so if you're here today, I'm gonna ask you to be really bold. Why? Daniel was bold, man. They said, you're gonna die if you pray, and he went and opened the windows. Here I am. I want you to be bold today and say, I want a life that's changed and different. So if that's you, I'm just gonna ask you to just walk right down front here real quick. Just come down and say, I want a different life. I want to follow Jesus. I want what only Jesus can do for me. I'll give you just a moment to do that. Amen. Amen. You guys just start praying that the Holy Spirit would do his work in the room. Would you join me in praying? Just say, Holy Spirit, we give this time to you. You have this last part of the service. Holy Spirit, do what you want. Come and speak to us. Come and change us. Come and transform us. Bring healing to us, Lord. This is your time. Just come and speak, Lord. Come and speak. I pray for my brothers and sisters, Father, that if there's anyone here that needs a touch from heaven this morning, Father, I pray that the Spirit would be loosed to do his great work in our lives. Come and do your work, Holy Spirit. Change us, Lord. Minister to us. Heal us, Father. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Pray for this. I want to pray for people who are struggling with this. If you're here and there's no shame at all. I was this. I was what I'm about to ask for. I am the guy, all right? So no shame at all. But if you're here and the thought of like trying to lead your family in something like prayer and devotions, like doing that with your kids as a family, if that's something that you're like, that intimidates you and you feel insecure about doing something like that, or if you're a married couple without kids, but you're a husband and you're like, man, I don't know about that whole idea. That seems, so you can pray about her, I'll pray about, like, if you struggle with insecurity in that, but you're like, but I want it though. Like, I want that. I want my family to do this, but I'm just not sure what to do. Man, can we pray with you about that? I would love to pray with you. Pastor Randy, Pastor Nicole, Pastor Phyllis, we'd love, the prayer team, we would love to pray with you about that because I promise you can do it. You can do it. But we'd love to pray with you about that. So if that's you, you can come down right now too. I'd love to pray for you, and then I have one other thing that I want to pray for. So if that's you, come on down. I already admitted it was me, so you don't have to feel bad about it. I promise. Am I the only one? I'm going to feel bad if nobody comes down, actually. I'm going to be like, I am the weirdo here. It's all right. Yeah, come on down. There's no shame. Come right down here. That'll be good. Anybody else? It's cool. How did it help me? Here's how it helped me. I went to some people, and I said, hey, I'm not doing this, but I want to, and my wife wants me to, but I feel really awkward about it. And he prayed with me and said, just go home and start doing it. And that's what we did. We just started doing it. It's amazing how God works in it, and he'll start speaking to you. But thank you guys so much. Is there anybody else? Seriously, it'll be a good thing for your family. I promise you it'll change your family if you come down for this. It'll change your family. Anyone else? Yeah, come on down. Amen. Very good. We'll just each grab one of them. And then don't leave. I have one more thing I want to pray for. So don't leave. It'll just be a moment. All right, very good. Hi. Amen. I'm going to pray for one more thing. If you guys would just close your eyes, bow your heads. I don't want anybody to look around. I don't want to embarrass anybody for this. But if today you're here and you're saying, hey, I'm with you on prayer. I think prayer is wonderful. But I've got a situation in my life that honestly, I'm hopeless. I'm hopeless. I just don't see how it's possible. I'm not sure that God can actually deliver me from this. And so I've quit praying about this thing because I'm just at the place where I'm hopeless. If you have that going on in your life, and please be respectful of the people. Don't look around. But if that's you, real quick, just shoot your hand up. I want to pray over you guys. If you're here and it's just you're like, there's a hopeless situation in my life and I don't have the faith to pray for it anymore. I want to pray for you in that thing. Okay, I see hands. Okay, put your hands down. All right, Father, in the name of Jesus, you saw every hand that went up in that moment. Now, Lord, we know you can do all things, but in this moment, our brothers and our sisters, they've said that they're at a place where they don't feel there's much hope. Or that there's no hope at all. But Lord, you have called your church to rise up and to pray for one another and to bear one another's burdens and to lift one another up when we've fallen down. And so, Father, right now, we, their brothers and sisters in Christ, we lift up our prayer to you, Father, and we ask for mercy on their behalf, Father, that you would just show them your power, that God, you would do wonders in their lives, whatever the circumstances are that they're facing. Lord, we pray that you would show yourself strong and that, Father, your name would be glorified in each of their lives and in each of their stories. stories. Father, be with them today. Give them peace by your Spirit. I pray even now as we pray that the peace of God would come and rest on their hearts, and that a new confidence, a new faith would be birthed inside of them to believe you, God, for what seems impossible. And I thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. To close service today, we have a baby dedication. So Pastor Nicole is going to come up and lead that.
Thank you, Pastor Nicole and Randy. Come on up here. We've got, some of you know this beautiful family in our church. It's Sergey and Sayla Grubin. And they've come with a whole family. Is the family coming up with you? Oh, come on. It takes a tribe. Everyone knows this. We've got Sergey's parents and Sayla's. Were you the... Oh, she had something to say about this dedication already. All right. So come on down, family. Look at them all. They got a big one. Oh.
Mom and Dad brought him to church. It was a little different back then, you know, than this today. I don't think they had a microphone, you know, or whatever. But Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to church, and Simeon dedicated him to the Lord. And, of course, this is what we are doing. We are dedicating her to the Lord, Anna Lee. And, you know, it takes humility to dedicate our babies to the Lord, letting them know that we need help, lots of help.
It takes courage.
Too.
That's part of this. And I needn't remind Becky and Mark, I think it was in the other church. And I'm going to rat out our ages here, but we were here the day Sayla was dedicated to the Lord. And you're watching a second generation be dedicate their babies. And you're seeing the legacy of God's word and his word go forth in our lives.
Amen.
And it's not just for our family, it's for our children's children and our children's children. You know, Deuteronomy says this. It says that you are to teach them and to raise them in the admonition of the Lord, that you're to train a child up, right? But this is what Deuteronomy says. It says literally, you're to teach them to love the Lord thy God with all their heart, their soul, and their strength. These commandments I give you today, and you are to write them upon your hearts. I impress them upon Anna Lee. You're going to press them on her heart so that she knows right from wrong when struggle comes. You're going to talk about them when you sit at home, when you go to bed at night, when you rise in the morning, when you walk on your walks. God says, impress them upon her. And I remind the two of you, God trusts you. He gave you what you need to raise her. I see the strong-willed behavior right now. But God trusts you with it. And he trusts the whole tribe to help support and to help raise and to help live and love her to Christ. Amen? Uh-huh. Sing of his glorious deeds and the miracles that God done. Tell the stories of how he healed cancer, how he healed the brokenness, how he set the captive free in their life. That's what Anna Lee needs to hear for her future. She needs to know there's a God that's more than capable. And when we speak the name of Jesus, he answers our prayer.
Yes, yes.
You're going to be tempted. She's an arrow that was already designed by God to be shot in the right direction. It's your job to see which direction that is. But you don't get to change the arrow. You don't get to change the way she was created. You get to simply see what God's purposed in her and direct her. Don't give in to that. If God wanted two of her, he would have gave you two, and thank God he did not. Amen? Anna Lee, you're an amazing gift from God. Your full name, Anna Lee Sky Grutram. She was born on 11/5/2024, and she was 8 pounds, 14.3 ounces.
Way to go, Dad.
Beautiful bundle. Pastor Randy,
all right, are we ready to pray, everybody? Come on, agree with us today. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name, and we dedicate Anna Lee to you. We thank you for the whole family here, Lord God, agreeing. And God, therefore, her and the immediate family, God, and the church family, we're all here for them, God, keeping them lifted up in prayer, helping them, Father, in time of need if it's there. But God, we thank you for her. I thank you, Father, that your hand is upon her life, Lord God. Father, you know her name even before the foundations of the earth. She was meant to be. I thank you for her, Lord God. I thank you for what you have planned for her life, Lord Jesus. We thank you for protection upon her life right now. In Jesus' name, we plead the blood over her and this entire family in Jesus' name. God, we thank you for her gifts and talents, Lord God, to come early, Lord God, in these last days. God, I thank you that she will love you and hate sin all the days of her life, Lord God, and in trouble she will run to you, Lord Jesus. God, I thank you for that today. And I thank you for mom and dad, giving them, Lord God, strength, Lord Jesus. God, encouragement, Lord God. And Father, I thank you for wisdom and knowledge in how to raise her, Lord God, this individual child. God, we thank you for all this today. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Annalie, welcome. Yeah. You want to say one more thing? I guess that's it. All right.
Get the worship team application already.
Yeah, amen.
Following her mom's
all right,
footsteps.
We love you guys. We have a great week. We'll see you Wednesday night, 7 p.m. It's going to be 60s and 70s this week. Yes!